Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. I'll be reading verses 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of our God.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jackson. I am the school chaplain for Presbyterian High School. I am also one of the pastors that serve in this church, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Today, on behalf of all the leaders of this church, I welcome all of you to our church service. Today is, of course, the Boys and Girls Brigades and Roman service. But today also marks the sixth day of the season of Lent, which means today is the Sunday just before Easter. And for us Christians, we call it Palm Sunday, in remembrance of the day when Jesus enters Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and his followers welcome him, waving palm branches as they will welcome a coming king, just like the picture below there. And we remember Jesus as our Lord and King today. So I want to take this opportunity to also wish all of you a blessed Palm Sunday. Now, let us begin today's message with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the King. It is because of what that you've done that we celebrate and we praise and we worship. We thank you, God, that you are Lord, and we thank you that you are God and Lord of Presbyterian High School, of the Boys and Girls Brigade, of our lives, and of this very service, even as we listen to your message. We pray, O God, that we will learn from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you had bad days before? I'm sure we all do. We all have bad days. Just take a look at my past week, for example. It was a long week. Now, on Monday, it was my day off from work, okay? But my three-year-old daughter was sick, and I had to bring her to the doctor and babysit her instead. Now, she usually would go to school on Monday so I could be resting. But I prayed. I prayed to God that, God, you will heal her, and for energy for myself, because I was tired, to bring her through the day caring for her. And that was Monday. On Tuesdays, I have meetings after meetings, and the last meeting ended close to midnight. And by the time I got home, I got some essentials done and got ready for bed, it was way past 1 a.m. And I was supposed to be in school the next day at 7 a.m. I was tired, and I prayed to God for rest. On Wednesday, I was working at the library, reading and writing, when the coldness of the air conditioning kind of caught me, or maybe it was spread from my daughter, I don't know, but I began to feel a little ill myself, and I prayed to God to sustain me. On Thursday, I had a long day meeting up with people and helped to facilitate a workshop session in the afternoon, and I was feeling weaker. I think I caught a chill, but I had to shoulder on, and on top of that, I received a video clip from social media with a graphic image which greatly affected me negatively. I prayed to God to overcome what I had seen and to forget what I had seen. Now on Friday, a group of students I was supposed to meet with suddenly had three of them drop out in the end. At the same time, I had two reports to submit, one report to vet through, and I was really feeling weak and frustrated at the same time. I felt like screaming. Then I was caught in a heavy downpour while riding on my motorcycle back home. And I was completely drenched when I go for my family dinner. And I pray to God to give me strength and give me peace. On Saturday, I had to finish off a message that I was preparing and yet spend time with my daughter and really was feeling quite unwell and tired by then. I popped some vitamin C's and I prayed to God for guidance. Today, this afternoon, I have 3 gatherings to attend to, which will extend into the evening. And I pray to God. And right now, I am still praying to God. Now, I'm sure that that was just a little scenario that I mentioned about me, but it is definitely familiar for most of you. You would too, in your lives, have deadlines to meet, difficult bosses or colleagues or clients to appease. For those of us who are students, you will have homework to submit, schoolwork to revise for, teachers to submit to, and parents to obey. Perhaps an annoying baby brother or sister to help take care of too. Then there's the hot weather here in Singapore that makes you really uncomfortable, and then suddenly the rain that gets you really irritated. The health issues that you're managing with, the bills to settle, and the never-ending list of errands to run. And now, the projector that's not working gets you frustrated too. Pardon me, give me a moment, all right? I was told not to move too much. Now, the Bible that we just read says this, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men and women, of course, shall fall exhausted. No one is without tiredness or weariness. Not even the young people among us. What about us, the older ones, right? Challenges of life do bring us down. Now, what are your frustrations? What are you tired about in life? You know, Singaporeans, we love to use the Hokkien word, sien, right? And sien, it means not just tiredness, but sien also refers to boredom and being fed up and being jaded. Perhaps, like me, you too will cry out to God, "If you are real God, help me now." You scream inside of yourself. And that's what I did on Friday afternoon. Sometimes you want to give up. Sometimes you think that there is no God in the world because it seems so silent. And you think, surely I am hidden from this God, or God is hidden from me. If there is a God, he doesn't care about me and he has disregarded my right. Sien. And that was exactly what the people of ancient Israel thought to themselves. Now, in the Bible passage that we just read, it was written a long time ago by a prophet of God named Isaiah. And Isaiah was writing to the people of God, the ancient nation of Israel. Now, the problem with this ancient Israel was they had not been obedient to God. And so in the end, God punished them by making them, their enemies, victorious over them. So in the end, Israel was taken captive. Her citizens were exiled to foreign lands where they were dispersed. And here under captivity and in exile, the Israelites finally realized their wrongdoings and they cried out to God. But God didn't answer them. Don't think that God is being bad in not answering them immediately, all right? Don't get it wrong. Now, most parents, the parents among us, I know you will feel the same too and feel that this is actually very usual. Now, for example, when my 3-year-old daughter is naughty, I will sometimes punish her by taking away her privilege to watch TV, for example, which she really loves. And she would cry, and she would immediately apologize. And even though I accept her apology, I say, "Okay, I forgive you, Daddy forgive you," and I give her a hug and I hold her hand in comfort, but I will still stand by my decision to remove her TV watching privilege. I'm sure all parents here do the same. And I always explain to her, "You are forgiven, but you have to answer the consequence of the wrong you did, at least for the moment." So in the same way, although the Israelites, they cry out to God for help, sometimes God chooses not to help them yet. We now know, of course, from history that Israel later was rescued from captivity. They were set free and they went back to their home country. In fact, God did help them in the end. But during that struggle of the exile, the Israelites couldn't see the future of God finally answering their prayers. And so in the same way, my daughter couldn't see that I was just removing her TV privilege for only an hour. She didn't know, I didn't tell her. I couldn't tell her. If I tell her, oh, it's only an hour, then she'd start misbehaving, right? But to my daughter, that 1 hour of wait without the, for the television viewing time, it seemed like a lifetime for her. And that was the exact same feeling of the Israelites. They cried out to God, but didn't get an immediate response from God. So they got tired, they got bored, they got impatient, they got angry, and their minds begin to wander. And an old English saying says that an idle mind is a devil's workshop, meaning that a mind that wanders from the truth will begin to harbor and entertain falsehood that will lead them astray. The Israelites, they gave in to their tiredness from waiting for God's answer, such that they began to devise their own perception of why God wasn't answering them. They began to express their disappointment with God. They alleged that God didn't care for us, that we are hidden from God. God was not with us anymore. But the prophet Isaiah, he was rebuking Israel when he said, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God?" Jacob, by the way, was another name for Israel. Are we not like Israel? In our defeat and frustrations of daily work, stress, and pressure, we get annoyed. We get impatient with many things. We cry out to a God who doesn't seem to respond, at least not immediately. And we get angry, and we think that God isn't real. And we think, surely I am hidden from God, or God is hidden from me. If there is a God, he doesn't care about me, and he has disregarded my right. I am so tired from my troubles, but you didn't help me. The troubles and challenges of life had caused the Israelites to grow weak and faint and so tired and weary. It seems at this point of time, the Israelites had given up hope in God. Maybe a question to ask the Israelite was, what do you mean by your way? And what do you mean by your right? Now, you remember, it was their wrong way and their wrong right that got them into trouble and distress in the first place. Their way and their right had gotten them into disobedience to God and defeat by their enemies and now captivity and exile. And so by insisting on their way and their right to be met and regarded, had the Israelites really learned their lesson and to follow God's way? I think not. The Israelites, they had to learn that the God's way of teaching them rather than their own right of indulgence. So what is God's way and God's right? The prophet Isaiah explained to Israel. He said, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Now, first of all, we have to get our understanding right. God is everlasting. He is creator. In other words, he has been there since the beginning and he is in charge. Now, imagine with me that there is a big fire, okay? And in the big fire, there are victims trapped in the building, everywhere, so many victims. And the ceiling is collapsing, and everything is in a mess, there's a lot of smoke everywhere. And a group of young firefighters arrived on scene. But they were a bunch of young and new recruits who had never experienced a big fire before. Now they looked behind them, where there was a man, an older, wiser firefighter. And he stood with a commanding presence. He was the chief. And he has served on the fire department since the very beginning, and he is now in charge. Now, the younger man, they waited for his instructions, and he began to bark out orders. "Go, do this, do that." He bark out orders fast and decisive, and they abide by his wisdom and experience. Now, such a scene happened many times in a movie when the leader that is much wiser and experienced gave orders to others to follow during intense situations. Maybe like Nick Fury did to the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Marvel's Avengers. Maybe like Captain Kirk to the crew of the Starship Enterprise in Star Trek. Or maybe like Battalion Chief Wallace Bolden in Chicago Fire, which I guess no one watches but me. Now, in the same way, God has been there since the beginning, and He is in charge. Who else can you trust? God is the veteran. He is the creator of all things, for goodness sake. God doesn't grow faint or weary or tired, even when we do. And that makes God worthy to be trusted upon and depend upon. For just like we can lean on a strong pillar that wouldn't fall, or build houses on a foundation that doesn't crumble, we can trust and depend upon a God who doesn't grow tired or weary. God is a God who gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. And that is the promise. The God who has been there since the beginning, the creator, he is in charge and he gives us strength. Just like the pillar that I was talking about that lifts up the roof and the foundation that supports the building, God who doesn't tire or grow weary will lift you up from our tiredness and weariness, up from our disappointment and trouble. And the prophet Isaiah was really telling the Israelites, this is a God you can depend on. He will rescue you from your defeat and shame and captivity and exile and tiredness. He will rescue you and give you strength. Now how? How do we receive strength from God? And so we come to verse 31, which is the theme verse for our Girls Brigade 5th Company this year as they mark their 50th anniversary. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the answer is to wait for the Lord. What? What does it mean to wait? Now, some Bible versions use the word trust, to trust in the Lord. And some say to hope in the Lord. It means a complete dependence on God, a willingness to allow God to decide His terms, His way, and His right. It means to admit that we have no other help in ourselves or anyone else. We are helpless. It is like in rescuing a drowning victim in swimming. You know, as the victim frantically struggles, I'm drowning, help me. And to no avail, he was desperately just splashing and thrashing the waters around him. There is no way, do you know, for a lifeguard to come near to save the victim? Because when the victim is struggling, he may pull the lifeguard down as well. Now, in water rescue and life-saving, lifeguards are trained. As they swim close to the victim, they will stop at a distance and they will shout, stop struggling, I will save you. Now, if the victims choose to depend on his own strength and think, the lifeguard can save me, I will try to save myself, there is no way the lifeguard can come close to rescuing him. The victim, upon seeing that the lifeguard has drawn near, must trust in the lifeguard, relax themselves, and let the lifeguard draw near to pull them in a tug position. Now, the victims acknowledging that they cannot save themselves, that they are hopeless without the lifeguard, allows the lifeguard to swim in and to rescue them. And so in the same way, we have to admit that we cannot make it on our own. Once we have recognized our own mortality, do we recognize God's help of immortality? The original Hebrew word for waiting is kawa. And what it means is that kawa doesn't mean waiting as in to sit by, idling, drink my coffee and tea, do nothing, and waste time waiting for God to come. But kawa means living a life of confident expectation. Confident expectation. An example is like you are waiting to go on a planned holiday. You bought your plane tickets, the hotel has been booked, your luggage has been packed, your leave has been applied for and approved by your boss, your itinerary was packed, everything is done and planned. And you're just waiting for the day. Anticipation, excitement. You can't wait for it to happen. And you start posting on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You say, 20 more days to my Italian holiday trip. Now, your mind is all focused on the trip. You prioritize yourself for it. You could think of nothing else. And suddenly, work seems lighter. The task that you're doing seems manageable. I'm going for a holiday. You know, don't worry, it will all be better soon, you know. We can trust in God in that way. He is coming, just like the holiday is coming. And He will give us strength. So we wait for the day to come that the Lord will come to us and give us strength. Psalm 121, another book in the Bible writes, I lift up my eyes to the hill. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And yet in another book, the book of Colossians, it says in chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, says that if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now we are to wait in confident expectation because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Jesus is God's own Son. He has died for us, and He has raised back to life. He has removed our wrongdoings, our sins away from us. That even as we continue to live through the consequences of our wrongdoings and disobedience, we know that in Christ we are forgiven and reconciled with God. Through Jesus Christ, we are free in God. It is as if we are mounted with wings like an eagle. It is interesting that the prophet Isaiah described the wings of eagle, not a small sparrow or a little butterfly, for the eagle is the strongest and most powerful of birds, and it flies really high in the sky. When we place our trust, our hope, and as we wait upon God with confident expectation, we are like soaring on the wings of an eagle. Better still, we are soaring on God's wings, flying freely, free from our trouble, free from our distress, free from our tiredness, weariness, and exhaustion. For the BB and the GB members sitting here, sometimes when going through some of our company activities, we wonder the intent of it. For example, drills are everybody's favorite, right? Drills? Drills is one activity that we sometimes find ourselves tired of, no? Like, especially because, especially maybe for the set one and two other juniors, you may not understand why do we do drills. We dread drills, standing under the hot sun and having to listen to someone barking orders and following and watching, marching together. What is it for? But once you have heard your seniors and what the seniors have said about how they learned discipline, how they learn cohesiveness through drill, when you have witnessed how drill develops perseverance, resilience, coordination, teamwork, and even leadership, and seen how impressive a good drill team can be, then you will appreciate drill for what it is. And so in going through each day's routine of drill lesson, know this, God will give you strength to soar on His wings when you wait on Him with confident expectation. And this goes through with everything that you do from set one all the way to the day you graduate from Presbyterian High School. The things that you do in Boys Brigade or Girls Brigade, you may not be able to see the end result, but it is there. And God will give you strength to go through it. As students, you may tire from schoolworks and tasks. For the seniors, you may be in preparation for O's and N levels, and you are tired. and going through your revisions, practices, studies, and preparations, know this, that God will give you strength to soar on His wings when you wait on Him with confident expectation. For those of us who are adults working in the workforce, you may tire from never-ending stream of tasks, many of which seem so difficult. Know this, that God will give you strength to soar on His wings when you wait on Him with confident expectation. Now, in a moment's time, we will witness our boys and girls of the Boys and Girls Brigade dedicating themselves before God. And this dedication is something that we do every year. It isn't just a tradition that we recite our vows and to show off our numbers around. No. The dedication that we are going to do is a submission to God that without God's help to our respective companies, we are nothing. It is a submission that only in God can we find our strength. In an increasingly complicated and wearisome world, can we draw upon wisdom to manage our trouble and distress, our difficulties. Only then can we soar on wings of God. Now, earlier I was telling you about my bad week, or rather seemingly bad week. I'd like to close with that again to tell you what happened. Now, if you notice, at the end of each day, I was really submitting prayers to God through the obstacles that I had to meet. And I hope in this, I waited upon God that He will give me strength to soar on His wings when I wait on Him with confident expectation. Now, on Monday, as I was saying earlier, I spent my day caring for my sick daughter. It turned out to be a wonderful, what I call as a DDD, Daddy Daughter Day. I prayed to God for energy in caregiving. And now I thank God for rescuing me that we spend good and fun time together. On Tuesday, when I got ready for bed only past 1 a.m., I prayed to God for rest. Now I thank God for rescuing me because two other pastors shouldered the school duties early the next morning so I could rest. I thank God for teamwork. On Wednesday, I was feeling a little sick, I told you. I prayed to God to sustain me. And now I thank God that I am well standing before you. On Thursday, I told you I saw a graphic video clip on social media which affected me negatively. I prayed to God to overcome it. And now I thank God for assuring me of His promises. On Friday, I told you I was supposed to meet 7 students, but 3 back out. I now thank God that there are 4 remaining students with commitment to our meeting. I was drenched in the downpour, I told you, but I now thank God for the fun that my family had when we go to buy a new t-shirt for me to change into after family dinner. And on Saturday, I pray for guidance. Now I thank God that I'm standing here speaking to you. I told you that this afternoon I have gatherings that extend to the evening and I'm tired after a long week. But you know what? I thank God for the opportunities to meet with friends and families, and I look forward to each gathering later in the day. Indeed, God is good. Even though we do not see the end result as we go through our trouble and difficulties, God hears our prayers and gives us strength when we are tired to soar on His wings when you wait on Him with confident expectation. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for what You have done for us upon the cross. It is because of You that we are able to soar on wings of like eagle. We thank You, God, that You are a God who is not distant, but You are a God who is near. You hear our prayers, and You draw near to us. You want us to submit to You, that we can truly draw upon Your strength. I pray, O God, that as we go through each day of our lives, we will learn to draw upon the strength of our Lord God. Guide us, teach us, protect us, bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.